Continental Tires, AFL Trade Radio. The Early Trade for Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, keeping you safe on the roads. And for Bunnings, find out how Bunnings Trade can help your business at bunnings.com.au/trade.
This is Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. You can get involved. You can follow us at Trade Radio on Twitter. Lloydie's list, the top five recruits of the 2020 trade period in terms of what you didn't have to give up much to make a huge impact. Five, Tom Hickey. Four, Nick Hine. Three, Adam Treloar. Two, Alira. Number one, most valuable recruit, Ben Brown, in this trade period last year. Joining us now is the Managing Director of Capital Sports Group, Marty Pasca. Marty, thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. No problems at all.
How do you attack the trade period? You're a veteran of doing it now, but what is your attitude as a player agent at this time of the year?
Well, you always to keep an open mind, but I think the key thing, like anything, because it's a 12-month of the year business now where you're regularly talking and discussing, and pre-COVID, you're meeting face-to-face, but obviously that's very much changed and you're adapting and pivoting and doing more things over Zoom and phones and whatnot in this day and age. But nothing should really surprise you coming into this end of the season, to be perfectly honest. And I think clubs and agents, by and large, are pretty professional now, and you've got a pretty good understanding of where things lie leading into this next couple of weeks.
So just on that, how organised are clubs and their list manager in terms of making contact with you about a potential recruit? Is it 12 months out? Does it go back longer than that? What's your experiences of when clubs first talk to you about the interest they may have in one of your players?
It differs. So it can change. It can change in the course of a season. So there might be a particular need or want that they establish that is needed throughout the year that they thought they may have had covered leading into the pre-season, and that alters. But by and large, mate, they have a really good understanding of their list and where it sits. So those sort of situations are rare, but they flag interest, I would think, sometimes well out, 12 months out of a player being out of contract if they really like that player. They might have them as a watch and somebody that they'll watch closely throughout the course of the season that they may not be getting opportunity with that particular club, and they think that they might be a best 22 player at their particular club, and it might be that go home factor that we hear a lot about at this point in time when you do have 10 clubs in the one state, and there are players spread around the country that there is always that question asked whether or not they want to come home. So there's so many different variables that go into it, but by and large you have those conversations over a good 12-month period.
And it's not just the players, of course. I mean, the biggest story of this season was Alistair Clarkson and Sam Mitchell. Now yourself and your business partner, Peter Lenton, look after Sam. Was that the, in terms of you doing this, was that the biggest story you think you've been involved in your time?
No. Nothing sort of, there's always been different situations that have come out. Look, I mean, I've looked at situations over probably the last 12 years where, I mean, Brian Lake leaving Western Bulldogs and after playing nearly 200 games and going over to Hawthorn and winning three premierships that seemed to impact the market pretty quickly because no one sort of knew about it, and you sort of reflect a little bit on different ones. I mean, Ryan Burton leaving Hawthorn. There's a bit of a common theme here with Hawthorn, but Ryan Burton leaving Hawthorn and going to Port Adelaide. That certainly was one that sort of came up a little bit later in the piece, but I guess you've just got to be pretty flexible and understand that we are in an industry now where there's a lot of eyeballs on it. There's a lot of people that love their football and love their football clubs and are very passionate about their football clubs. So stories do evolve and people want the news and people want to know how it all transpires and what goes on. And I think that the main thing is a lot of the time it is good intentioned. And unfortunately, there is a business side of what we do. And that's the reality of the situation. I mean, that's why I'm employed. And that's what you're designed to do is to obviously help navigate through these tricky situations as best you can. And, and obviously give the best advice you possibly can to get the right outcome.
Marty, you just mentioned Ryan Burton, and I'll never forget 2 years ago. I was at, had my kids on school holidays at Jump Central, and we're jumping on the trampolines. The next minute, you walked in, and you had your kids there, and your head was spinning around that time because of the Ryan Burton trade at that time was about to happen. So I want to ask you, how often does it happen where did that one come out of the blue in trade period, or you could feel it was coming before that? So I wanted to ask, is it rare that a player's name just comes up where you're called and say, we want to trade your player in this two-week window? Is it always a build-up where you can see it coming, or can they be rare like that?
Yeah, good memory, Lordy. Yeah. I actually thought you walked in an hour earlier and checked my name on the list and then thought I'll come back and get the scoop. But that can happen where I did get a sense, absolutely. And sometimes it is about connecting the dots and understanding that, well, one, there's a very good player coming in. And obviously there's a player that you know that in that situation Port Adelaide really liked, and he was an SA boy and he obviously barracked for the club. So it was one that sort of came up late in the piece, but you did have a genuine feel that, hey, reading the wind, this situation could occur. So we did flag it early in the piece that this might happen. And then it was about making sure that the player in that situation, Ryan Burton, was well looked after, in the sense that if he was going to do it, it had to be a good situation for him to be able to leave. So he was contracted at Hawthorn. He'd just been given the number 5. He'd finished high in a BNF, runner-up in the Rising Star. So he'd done a lot right at Hawthorn. So if that was the right time for him to leave, well, then it needed to be a good environment for him to then leave Hawthorn and go to Port Adelaide. And to be honest, the environment in which Port Adelaide created and what they were doing at that point in time, and obviously proof's in the pudding now with the ability to play in preliminary finals and build a really good, strong list, that's what we were sold on, and that's what we felt comfortable that he was going to go and join. And then you do your own little due diligence and make sure that situation was right. And in the end, it was a great decision for him. He's happy. He'll finish his career at Port Adelaide. And, you know, it's worked out really well for him. But, yeah, you do try and read the wind a little bit and make sure that you're prepared should that decision or rather that opportunity arise.
Marty, I heard Justin Lepich talk maybe a week or two ago, and he spoke around getting to a point where you don't need the player's consent, I think he said, to trade a player. What do you make of that? And do you think we'll ever get to that point where, like maybe in NBA, I don't know how it works in American sports, but you can be traded against your will or without the player having to agree to or a manager agreeing to it?
Yeah, it's an interesting debate. And look, to be honest, I don't know 100% where I sit with it sitting here right now, because I can see from the argument from club land, and then I can certainly see the argument from player. And then there's obviously the middle. And the middle ground are situations where you need to look into it a little bit further, in the sense that, yes, American sports look good, but remember that minimum contracts in America are north of $1 million. So to pick up a bloke and just plonk him somewhere overnight and he's sitting on $1 million and he's got the lifestyle and the ability to support that is a hell of a lot different than potentially a guy on $120,000 and $4,000 a game. So there's different complexities that go into it. Yes, the top end of the market, and I think everybody looks at the top end of the market where someone's on $800,000 and they can move and they should be okay. They can rent a house. They can adjust and manage. But that's not everybody in the competition. Whereas in the American sports, everybody's the minimum wages are enormous salaries, and they can adjust it and they can basically survive and be able to do it. So I worry about that bottom end in the sense of the financial impact of what it has and families. And a lot of the time too, a lot of these guys, they have two working people in their family. So they have a wife or a girlfriend that works to be able to, sustain that income. So not everyone's on the big money like they are in these American sports, which is the example that you mentioned and everyone mentioned. So that's one argument that I think that people probably need to explore a little bit further and how that impacts. But then the other side of the argument too is, you mentioned the Ryan Burton situation just before. So clubs do have the opportunity to trade a player even though he's contracted as well. So those conversations do happen. And I already probably have heard 6 or 7 on your show already where these guys are are contracted or have a year to run on their contract. So clubs now are having these mature conversations with players anyway. So very rarely do you get a situation where a club says, hey, explore your options, even though you've got a year to run on your contract, and then all of a sudden they come back to the footy club. Often you'll find that when a club says that to them and they've got a year to run on their contract, they tend to leave. So there is that power, in a sense, with the club anyway, where if you have a mature conversation and you want the desired outcome, whether it be I have to clear money in my salary cap or you're not going to get opportunity, whatever it may be, those conversations do tend to take place anyway.
Marty Pask is the Managing Director of Capital Sports Group. He joins us this morning. Might work through a couple of your players, if you don't mind, Marty. You know the way this works. Charlie Constable, I believe your business looks after. 12 games in 3 years and looking surely for more opportunities. Where's he at?
The football club and Charlie, and we've had a good dialogue all year around opportunity and the need for opportunity. There's obviously, the door's not shut on Charlie. To return to Geelong. They've obviously got a very open mind in terms of where he may sit in 12 months, 18 months down the track and with opportunity. But should an opportunity arise now, and it's a good one, and we're obviously kicking the tyres a little bit in the marketplace at the moment, trying to find out where that sits, then obviously he'd look at it. But, I mean, from my point of view, I've been doing this a while, and the ability for him at the second tier competition and what he does is nothing short of outstanding. And, you know, I'd like to look at him in the marketplace as somebody that is getting a player that they can rely on and count on, and to give him an opportunity, because he thoroughly deserves it. If you look at his numbers and even when he's come into the AFL, he's performed. So I think we'll know more in the next couple of weeks, but we're very open-minded where he sits.
What's the interest been like in him?
Moderate. The other complexity we've got in this market at the moment is where list sizes sit and how many spots clubs want to take to the draft, and obviously the eyeballs on talent this year hasn't been what it's been in previous years. So what clubs do at trade period in terms of that extra list spot, whether they carry it to the draft and use it on a late pick versus bringing in a Charlie or re-signing one of their own players that for another 12 months because they just haven't seen enough talent this year. So I don't know where the draft currently sits, whether or not we're going to have another 50 picks or 60 picks like last year, because some of the better players this year, they've probably only been seen 7 or 8 times because of COVID. So that's another complexity that comes into it, and whether or not that affects someone like Charlie getting on a list. But look, we'll just have to see how the next couple of weeks pan out.
Western Bulldogs have a heap of players out of contract next year. One of them is Caleb Daniel, a star of the competition. He'll be a free agent. Are you looking to renegotiate his deal now and extend?
Oh, we'd be happy to always have an open dialogue with the Western Bulldogs, absolutely. I mean, he's done really well. He's built a really good career. All-Australian, premiership player, best and fairest winner at the club. In terms of where that sits, yeah, I mean, you never shut the door and say, oh, no, we'll do it at this time or whatever. I'd be happy, and Sam and I have only spoken probably a few months ago around, look, there's probably one at the end of the season that we'll at least sit down and have a preliminary chat around. He's obviously a free agent. He's done very well. And, I mean, he's a player that you're really proud of because, I mean, you can only remember when he started that, you know, there was a lot of knock on where he'd fit at the AFL level and what he'd be able to do and what position he'd be able to play and whether or not there would be AFL interest. And, geez, he's really been a pioneer for the smaller player and people that can use it really well and make good decisions. And you can obviously utilise it in your back half, front half. He's just been a huge player. So definitely we're obviously keen to chat to the Bulldogs whenever they're happy to take a deep breath after a grand final in the trade period, and I'm sure that'll start talking in the off season.
Marty, you also look after Ben Hobbs, who a lot of our listeners wouldn't have heard of, but he's going to be most likely a top 10 selection in this year's draft. How is the draft viewed from your perspective in terms of the strength of it, and what type of players will be form that top 10 selections?
Yeah, there's some good players in the top 10, I believe, in terms of a midfielder. So Ben, for example, that you mentioned, you're just getting a ready-made inside mid that can win his own footy and go forward and take a nice catch, and he's got leadership quality. So he's got some serious interest in that top half of the top 10. But there's some really good players there that are around that nice sort of midfield size between 180 and 190 that I believe is pretty deep this year. So everyone pretty much knows that, you know, Dacos and Darcy would be probably the first two that get bid on. And then I'd say there'd be Horn, Callaghan, Hobbs, Ward, Rochelle. These sort of guys are fairly good players that I feel that could come in the sides and make an impact reasonably quickly. They've each got a point of difference. I mean, obviously, Dacos is very good on the outside and he's got leg speed. Callaghan's that nice, longer sort of mid-size mid that's a little bit leaner and can run really, really well, good on the outside. And Ward's pretty similar to Hobbs in the sense that can win his own footy and is very good in the midfield as well. So I think the clubs that hold picks sort of between 1 and 12 are going to get a very nice player that can play for their footy club for a fair while. But like I said earlier, I think the worry and what's a little bit of a lottery is probably going to be anything, you know, from the third round back and, you know, how much clubs have actually physically seen these guys live. And then what else is going to be really cool, I think, for the AFL fan is the mid-season next year. I think you'll find a lot of clubs either leave open an SSP spot over the summer because they need to see these guys a little bit longer, or they'll target some of these guys. Like, you look at guys like Sammy Durham at Essendon this year that came into a revitalised Essendon side, played a final. He wasn't even the radar in the national draft due to COVID because he just hadn't been seen enough. But obviously comes in the mid-season, plays really, really well and is obviously going to be hopefully now a long-term Essendon player. So those sorts of situations will happen a lot more out of this draft, where in a normal year you probably see 80 picks in the draft and they go a bit later, but we'll probably see lesser picks and maybe some more spots open up with SSP or mid-season.
Hey, Marty, thanks so much for your time, mate, and good luck in what is going to be a very busy next couple of weeks. Really appreciate you joining us this morning.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Always good to
prominent
chat.
Player agent Marty Pass there joining us from Capital Sports Group. This is the Early Trade for Tyre Power, here to help you stay safe on the roads. And for Bunnings Trade, helping business is their trade. Back to dissect all of that on the other side of this.
You're listening to Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tyres, when everything counts, counts on Continental.